Hey guys, Tim here, and I'm going to tell you how you can get all of my training programs for free. That's right, it's part of our new 12-month coaching program called Springboard, and it's designed to help gym owners who are stuck between $8,000 and $25,000 a month grow to $30,000 in stable recurring revenue. To see how Springboard can help your gym and to see which one of my training programs you get for free, visit gymownercoach.com. That's right, gymownercoach.com for more information. Now let's get into the show. All right, welcome back to the Gym Business Coach podcast, found at gymbusinesscoach.com. Go check us out. We also have a YouTube channel for both the podcast and our long form stuff. I think it's slash at thegymbusinesscoach.com or youtube.com/@thegymbusinesscoach. Anyway, sorry, there you go. Joined by Randy Angston. What's up, buddy?
Morning.
Yo. Well, listen, guys, our growth summit's coming up. It's coming up in June, and I know we're selling tickets like crazy. Yeah. This last week, and we sold a ton. Lots of cool stuff, guys. Semi-private pros is popping off. Iron Circle's popping off. This racquetball court that we're in is popping off. But listen, guys, we got a good episode for you today. You know, listen, this is probably one of our foundational frameworks that, you know, kind of affects everybody. Mm-hmm. It affects everybody no matter what industry you're in. We call it the dynamic gym principle. And the theory is, or the framework is, you know, you cannot fall in love with your product. You always have to constantly improve. If you fall in love with your pricing, your model, your systems, to a point where you almost defend it, even though they're not serving your gym or you, that is the, it's the biggest trap.
Yeah, it's like blinded by
biggest trap. I was watching Netflix over the weekend. Case in point, The Story of BlackBerry.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great documentary. It talks about the story of the BlackBerry phone and the smartphone and the networks and all these, and you're trying to sell it. And it's like the startup company run by just a couple of like nerdy dudes like in a basement kind of getting this thing out. And their big kind of like creation was this keyboard that was on their phone that, you know, people fell in love with. That not even, you know, the fidget spinners and yeah, those pop things, like the click of the little keys on the keyboard was such a big driver for people felt that satisfied with, like it was a thing.
Yeah.
But, and I had many BlackBerries, sure, you know, especially in construction, they would give, that was like your thing because it had email and it had text and it had all this stuff in it. And so this rise of BlackBerry, and they were taking the world by storm, and they were picking off people out of Google and out of all these bigger startups, and they would you know, give them huge stock options and $10 million to leave your job today and all this stuff, and they were just growing out of control. But they were blinded by their own product. When Steve Jobs came out and made the – and they show this scene. The whole BlackBerry crew is watching the streaming of the Apple keynote where Steve Jobs comes out and he talks about just a piece of glass, yeah, and no keyboard. The keyboard was in the graphics of the phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And BlackBerry's like, well, nobody wants that. What, yeah, do? They want the click. They want the thing. And, you know, it's like Steve Jobs, his whole point was like the keyboard's there whether you need it or not. And, you know, BlackBerry was like defending their product instead of trying to figure out, well, maybe they got a point. Not that you should just stick and move with what everybody else is doing. That's not, yeah, the point. But there was such a demand for the keyless or keyboardless phones that, you know, they would not change. And they, you know, anyways, by the time they figured it out, it was too late. They had a trackball, and that was like their, yeah, big thing. Anyways, long story short, this happens in the fitness industry a lot. A pretty good example is CrossFit. I mean, as much as we hate on CrossFit, like this is a case in point for those guys to see, like, hey, the writing's on the wall, guys. If you're a CrossFit gym, just look around. You know, there's more CrossFits closing than opening. I mean, maybe with this rise of HYROX, that there's a little bit more of a surge maybe coming into where CrossFits are offering HYROX training. Mm-hmm. It's just like, and by the way, that's a whole nother
you do episode. The same thing, yeah.
It's a whole nother episode about planting your flag on somebody else's name that, mm-hmm, you have no control over. Like, that's a whole nother thing. But the point of the message is, it's like CrossFit should have adapted a long time ago. You know, this large group class metabolic conditioning, you know, style training where there's this definitely a diehard community of those people. The business model itself doesn't support long-term, like, sustainable growth with the low price point.
Yep.
The low price point's the issue. It's not the fact that it's CrossFit. It could be any. It could be boot camps or, mm-hmm. or whatever. It's a class-based large group concept that's really the issue. And so what you're starting to see, CrossFits and even boot camp gyms that are franchised that are starting to do semi-private personal training
yeah.
as a way to kind of bolster up the failing business model where it's like, in order to fix the problems in your business, you're doing something that doesn't even correlate with what your core offering it is. So it's like you catch yourself in this kind of like catch 22. Whereas the BlackBerry story, sure, they could have kept their core thing and then maybe had a model with the keyless thing or whatever, the keyless keyboard or whatever, the, you know, graphical keyboard to see. Because if they just did that, and I believe this to be true, if they gave an option, the BlackBerry had the brand. It had it had all the users. Yeah. And so, like, while Steve Jobs and the iPhone had this unique thing, this one unique thing could have been inside the BlackBerry phone, but they just refused to do it. They fell in love with the keyboard, and they thought that was the reason people were with them.
So interesting.
Yeah, it's just a really cool, and there's dozens of these.
Yeah.
Palm Pilot was a part of that show too. Yep. The Palm. Compact Computers is another great example. Blockbuster is another great example. There's this story after story where these great companies at the height of their power refuse to adapt to what the market's looking for.
And that's the thing we say it all the time, like the marketplace is the ultimate decider.
Well, here's something I'm catching myself saying this. The core thing needs to be the core thing. Let's mm-hmm. talk about that. The marketplace, when we're talking about things they want, they want quick fixes and they want, like, for example, peptides. That would be something where you would say the market is looking for this, but it's a different industry than what you're currently offering. That could be said to say, hey, like, you know what? The market also wants Lululemon style clothing. So are you going to bring a clothing store in? And the market wants BMWs. And so what are you going to sell?
If you're a gym owner dedicated to delivering a better training experience than your competitors, then you already know that one of the biggest bottlenecks in your business is programming. Most gym owners are either doing it themselves or paying a team a small fortune just to keep up. That's why I want to tell you about our sponsor, Semi-Private Pro, a platform that we built out of necessity in our own gym after realizing how much time and money we were just wasting to stay on top of programming. Let me give you a couple real-world examples. Ayn Toppin, she was spending 3 hours a day on programming. After switching to Semi-Private Pro, that dropped to zero, with zero drop in quality. Scott Wilson out of Kentucky, he's paying his team 15 hours a week for programming. Now they handle it in 15 minutes, and it's actually better than before. And Elizabeth Rogers, she reclaimed her Sundays. No more weekends behind a laptop, writing workouts, and her coaches are now more aligned and consistent than ever. Guys, that is what Semi-Private Pro does. It gives you a master programming system your coaches can easily follow and adjust in real time. And here's the best part. This isn't some cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all template. Thanks to Semi-Private Pro's trademark movement matrix, every client workout is customized to their goals and movement quality. So it's not just faster, it's actually more individualized, more professional, and completely scalable. So if you're tired of spending your weekends writing workouts or worse, paying your team to do it, head on over to semiprivatepro.com to learn more. That's semiprivatepro.com and reclaim your time and level up your training. All right, before we jump back into the episode, a quick note for the gym owners listening right now. If you're the kind of owner that is always pushing for the next level, you should know about the Growth Summit. Every year, we bring together some of the most driven gym owners in the industry for 3 days. This year, it's in Scottsdale. No fluff, no bullshit, just serious operators talking about what it really takes to build a gym that works as a business. Several thousand gym owners from all over the world so far have attended. So if you want to be in the room with people who refuse to settle for average, head on over to fitprogrowsummit.com and grab your ticket now, June 25th through 27th in Scottsdale. All right, let's get back to the show. BMWs, it's like, that's not the point. So it's really interesting. It's
you know, the peptide thing is a liability thing, and I believe it's an out of scope thing.
Yeah.
It is what the marketplace is begging for. It's obvious because they're all taking it, yeah. right? Where this gets a little skewed, it's not adding a feature to your facility like a keyless keyboard to your regular keyboard. That's a different thing than adding peptides to your fitness program. What I'm saying is like, hey, maybe you do fitness a little bit different. Maybe the large group becomes semi-private. That's a great point.
Sure.
Like that is still fitness, whereas like it's in correlates with the keyboard, with the key, with the graphical keyboard. I guess that, does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
Versus going way over here and saying, hey, we're going to do peptides and we're going to do this whole like meal prep thing in our facilities. And we're going to have a chiropractor and a blood work guy in this corner and a phlebotomist. And then they're going to do a massage chair over here. That's going to totally different lanes. This yeah. isn't just a better way to do your fitness.
Well, program. And I think that it's probably, I think you're going to see a little of that regardless. Because like it's almost like the iPhone finally, or the iPhone getting iTunes. You know what I mean? Like there's things that you can bolt on.
There you go.
That makes sense.
That's a good point. Yeah.
But, you know, because if you think about it like a phone or a communication device, where did music come into play? You know what I mean?
Or streaming videos.
Yeah. So there might be, you know, there might be situations where it does make sense. But I think even with that, like, you still got to do your due diligence.
Yeah, that's a hell of a point. That is exactly like bringing peptides into a gym.
Yeah.
Putting iTunes on the iPhone is, it's a way to use the product differently, but it's not a phone. It's a music player.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, hell, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well,
I'm
no,
just talking.
I mean,
I'm just trying to figure out like how this fits in. But the point,
I think you're trying to make a point of like, you know, be careful on how far outside of the scope and the main thing
yeah.
you do.
Yeah. Go. I mean, peptides make sense, but it's a liability thing. That's why yeah. I don't believe it. Like, anyways. The other thing is this, like if you just like for our story here in our evolution of where we started to where we are now. If we had fallen in love with the product, first off, we would have been out of business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, financially, it just didn't make any sense. We started as a 24-hour kind of key card access gym with equipment and training if you wanted it through independent trainers. That model sucks.
Yeah.
Okay? That model is horrible. And the only reason I did it is because I had watched a guy having Anytime Fitness in this little town I was living in, and he was killing it, and it seemed so easy. It's like, well, I'll just do this. But when I got into the operations, it was clear if I had fallen in love with that model, well, first off, I wouldn't be here. So first thing we did was we got rid of our equipment. We got rid of our independent trainers. We brought in a training team, and we sold training. We were a training model.
We were
a training model first, and access if you wanted it.
Yep.
It was the opposite of what we had, and so that's how we started. Then we went really deep into the large group boot camp style metabolic conditioning, going outside, slamming, you know, flipping tires and all that stuff. It was awesome, and we grew. But if I had fallen in love with that, we would be closed.
Sure.
So we added semi-private training, and then we did kind of a large group in a semi-private training group. And then if fallen in love with that, we would be mediocre. And so then we looked at the numbers and we said, hey, you know what? These clients aren't paying that much, and they're really leaving on way faster than these over here. We don't need as many times, blah, blah, blah. And we got rid of large group and just went all in on semi-private. And if we had fallen in love with just semi-private, the way we were doing it, we would be above average, but not where we are today. And so if I had fallen in love with that style of training and the way we trained, we would be mediocre or just above average. And so even today, we've introduced semi-private pro as the delivery mechanism, and that's put us even further ahead. And so like our iterations and innovation is the only reason we're here is because I didn't fall in love with the way we were doing it. I always said there's got to be a better way to do this. And so that's the dynamic gym.
And, principle. You know, and here we are now having to figure out what comes next.
Have to come. You always have to say what's coming next.
Yeah.
You know, I've got some ideas maybe for another show, maybe for the Growth Summit. I'll share my ideas of where I believe the future is. But, you know, at the end of the day, guys, if you're running an old model or if it's not serving you,
yeah.
let's just say like if maybe it's
true.
maybe it's semi-private, but it's just not serving you. Not to say semi-private's going to serve you just by having it. If you're doing it the wrong way, if you're not charging enough, if you're not delivering it the right way, like at the end of the day, that is subpar, and you can't fall in love with that. And so you have to continuously look and innovate and stay ahead of this curve, because guys, they're coming up on your ass.
Oh yeah,
competition's on your ass. Competition's on our ass as a gym business coach. Like we see people hacking our stuff daily. I saw one this morning.
Yeah.
Like, man, isn't that exactly what we said like 2 months ago?
Years.
Well, 10 yeah. years ago. Yeah. Guys, we've been doing semi-private for 17 years. 17 years. Yeah, it looks a little different.
Yeah, but to your point, it's an evolution. It's not like a whole new beast. You know what I mean? It's just evolved even yeah. within that realm.
Yeah. It's interesting, yeah. And so, anyways, I guess this is the word of warning or hey, let's take a hard look at what you're doing. Don't fall in love. Always look at and say, like, hey, is there a better way to do this?
How can it be better, yeah.
How can it be better for us as the gym, for the coaches, for the clients, financially, experientially, whatever that looks like? How can we do it better? And always, always, always look to improve. Because when, as soon as you take your eye off that North Star, you start just sitting back on what they call your laurels. Like it will catch up with you mm-hmm. and it'll bite you in the ass. So guys, listen, hopefully that gets you thinking. If I offended you, maybe good. I don't know. Like it is just what I think. Like we're allowed to say whatever the hell we want, right? but hopefully that helps you guys. And you start looking around like what are the best people doing? How do I do it better? How do I make this what you're doing better? Is there innovations that we can do? Is there a better way to do it? So hopefully that helps you guys. Until next episode, we'll see you not in the next show. Hopefully we'll see you at the Growth Summit. Take care. Bye. If you enjoyed this episode and want to go deeper on this stuff, head on over to our YouTube channel. The podcast right here is where we have the conversations, but on the YouTube, we break down things much more in depth. We walk through real frameworks, real strategies, and systems that gym owners are using right now to build better businesses. Just search Gym Business Coach on YouTube or head on over to youtube.com/@TheGymBusinessCoach.com. Subscribe to the channel and I will see you over there.